Hi guys, welcome to the Deep End Podcast. My name is Allison Ford and I just want to personally welcome you. And I really don't have to welcome you because you're somebody, if you're listening to this, you already hang out in the deep end. And I kind of want to go into in the first episode, not only who I am, but a little bit about my story, but who are deep end people? What's the good and bad about hanging out in the deep end of life? And just thank you for joining me and let you know that you are not alone. You have found your place to be poetic and be extra and, think at a deep level and really be unapologetic about it. So let's go ahead and dive right in. So like I mentioned to you, my name's Allison Ford. I am a writer. I'm a speaker. I teach yoga, which definitely makes me a deep thinker. I'm a mother of two. I also have three dogs, about, 12 or 13 fish. I pretty much have a lot going on in my house. And I have always been a deep thinker. Since I was born, I think this was just put into me. And there have been times that has been very beneficial for what I do. And it has also been, sometimes it kind of can feel like a curse to be a deep thinker and to be someone who is mostly hanging out at the deep end of life. So I'll tell you a little bit about my story. I come from a family of six, so I have a lot of siblings. And I was that sibling who was always internal. I internalized so much of the things that were happening around me. So I'll tell you a little bit about my mom and my dad, which explains why I am internal and what that did for me and how it helped me get through certain things. So my mom obviously had six kids. She's pretty much a badass. My mom is a woman who had six children at home with no drugs. She is that type of woman who just gets on with things and she does it. Her mother's German, and so she's really, really, really strong. She's got a very, very strong, fierce type of personality. And she's not a complainer. She's not really a crier. She's somebody who I have a suspicion is a deep thinker, but she is not an emotional person as far as putting that out there so much. And I think they're deep thinkers. Some of them really put it out there and some of them keep it really internal. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Now, my father was, from what I can gather, very passionate. He was very artistic. My mom is also artistic. She's an artist and she does sculpting and she's a phenomenal drawer and she's great at so many different things. And my father was a singer and guitar player. And he also was a bit of a, now looking back, I can see a bit of a con artist and somebody who was basically a salesman. He was poetic. He was passionate. He would, just say really sweet things to me growing up. I just remember, some things that, dads, some dads say certain things to you and some dads don't. And deep thinking dad, which I think that I had, he used to, always just sing to me in the car and he would, just call me his ray of sunshine and he would just sort of lather on compliments. And the interesting thing is that I think my father probably couldn't handle having six kids. I think it was just probably too much for him. And he ended up walking out and leaving my mom and really leaving us when I was about, he started walking out when I was about six and he would come back every couple of years. And then I think the last time I probably saw him was when I was about 11 or 12. And, coming from that type of background and, we really didn't have a lot of money growing up. I was definitely in a neighborhood that was, really rough. And, we didn't have much. My mom did the best that she could for us. My dad really didn't pay child support. And he basically just skipped out. I haven't spoken to him since that time, and I'm 36 years old, and I still have not had a conversation with my dad in a very, very, very long time, and he has not reached out. My mom still lives on the same street. I'm pretty sure she still has the same phone number with the house phone and call waiting, you know, like my mom is that type. So he definitely could have, you know, found and sought us out, but he didn't. And so obviously I had to do quite a bit of healing work through that whole situation. And then being one of the youngest of six children, I have a little brother, but I'm the second youngest. And, you know, for me, I was always a deep feeling child, and I always felt the weight and the gravity of every situation. And I was also very small, like in size. So I was a teeny tiny little thing. And I just felt like always that I had these big, deep feelings, and that at any moment I was just going to burst. And sometimes I would burst when I was little. You know, I would say maybe one thing that was upsetting me, and I would just, like, the waterwork of tears would just come out. And most of the time, my siblings would kind of make fun of me. I was, you know, I definitely got, you know, I don't want to say bullied, but, you know, they definitely gave me a hard time growing up because I was always that sensitive one. I remember, for instance, one time we were at my dad's house when he was still around, and he had this, like, little apartment. And, we were six kids, and we re-ruined one of his beds. You know, he had like a water bed back at that time, and we broke the bed somehow, you know, just being kids, and it was leaking. And my father, he walked into the room really to just shut us up because we were being so loud. And, he stepped in some of the water because part of the bed was leaking, and then he had to fix it, and he was like so pissed off. And, so when he left the room, and we were then to be quiet, you know, all of us were sleeping in the, I think it was probably like, it had to have been, I know it was me, my brother, two of my brothers, and then my sister. So it was four of us for some reason. It wasn't all of us over there at that evening for whatever reason. But I was the child who, I felt deep, deep shame about the whole situation. And I was just saying, you know, oh my God, you know, dad is trying really hard, and, you know, this whole thing's got to be hard on him. And I swear, you guys, I think I was maybe 6 years old or 7 years old. I couldn't have been older than that. And I was just, I went into this whole rant on, you know, how we should have been better and we should have made better choices. And because I just felt so deep shame, and I felt so bad about, you know, doing that, and my dad stepping in, and my brothers and sisters laughing at him, and he just made him even more pissed off. And so my brother was teasing me, like, you know, dad's going to be like a frog on the street. He's just going to get run over. And he kept doing like ribbit, ribbit. And I mean, and then I'm sitting here, you know, crying and just feeling bad and thinking, God, my siblings are so, they just don't get it. They don't get the whole situation. They don't get the whole scope of things. And they just laughed at me for like crying. And I mean, the story sounds really evil when I'm telling it now, but I have always like been that child who just like took it that step further. You know, if a friend was mean to me, it wasn't even that the friend was mean to me. It was that, you know, what is wrong with humanity? What is wrong with the world? You know, I mean, these are the deep levels that I spoke at. And my mom would just, you know, she did not know how to handle me as a deep thinking child. I don't think my family knew how to handle it. They would constantly make, you know, jokes about it. And, you know, sometimes, I would say a lot of the time, it definitely hurt me. And it just really gave me the idea that, you know, I just don't fit in. I am this like weird alien person, and I just don't fit into this situation that I'm currently in. And it was really hard for me at times. I didn't feel normal. And, you know, I think people who were born like this, and people might, when you were growing up, maybe people said, you have an old soul, or you are somebody who is just very deep. Maybe people called you strange. Maybe people called you dramatic. I know that my mom would definitely, you know, she just didn't know what to do with me. And I think my mom was just like, I just have this very poetic, deep child. And I like, she just makes me laugh at some of the things that she says, because everything was just so deep for me. And for a very, very long time in my life, which I think I'll probably talk about in the next episode, and how I went into the total opposite direction of my feelings, because like I mentioned before, I think some people who are deep, they either put it out there and they're kind of unapologetic and people maybe call them dramatic, or they call them, you know, these people, they're just always having an issue. And, you know, some people really put it out there. And then other people find that when you put it out there, you get hurt and people judge you. And so you try to keep it bottled up inside, and you try to keep that depth of this endless pool or this endless ocean inside of you. And oftentimes you can feel very alone being a deep thinker and living in the deep end of the pool. But sometimes you find another deep thinker and you guys just go ham, right? I mean, have you ever had this situation where you find someone else who sort of lives in the deep end of the pool and they just make you feel just amazing? I mean, you can be buzzing off of just a conversation when you meet somebody who's willing to go into the deep end with you, or really just lives their most of their life too. So, segueing into that, I want to talk just a little bit about, you know, what is the good thing about being a deep thinking person and living in the deep end of the pool versus, what are the things that are challenging about it? Because there's always sort of that good and that bad. And as a deep thinker, I have done a lot of thought about this, and I've tried to see and apply where this thinking can help me in my life, in my job, and, you know, in my relationships. So when we're deep thinkers, something that's really good about this is that we normally see a situation for, you know, every element around it. So if I'm having a situation with my kids, for instance, it's like I'm looking back and to see, you know, the trauma that they may have had with that situation. I'm looking at their facial expressions. I'm looking at the words that they say. I'm looking at the words that they don't say. I'm thinking about the questions that I can get in there and ask them that really get to the heart of the matter, right? So deep thinkers often are really good, I don't want to say advice givers, but they're people who can look at a situation spherically, right? They can really look at the whole situation and how the situation happened and what might be causing it to happen, and what you can do, you know, in order to improve it, and what kind of deep solutions can we find for deep problems. So this is something that's really good because you're not afraid to go into those layers. And so for my marriage and for my house, this has been really beneficial because my husband is very pragmatic, and he, I don't want to say tend to be surface, because this really isn't a judgment about people who live in the deep or the surface. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And I think episode 3, I have it in because I want to really make sure that I'm being clear about, you know, this is not judging people. It's just saying that, you know, some people are really into the layers of life and they're really, you know, into talking about that and analyzing it. And other people, that, you know, it's just not their thing. They're good at other things. So when you're a deep thinking person, you're someone who really knows how to problem solve and to really look into something with empathy. You can look at it with some serious depth. And this is very beneficial in a household, if you are dealing with kids, if you are a teacher. I'm a former teacher. And when I was a teacher, teaching literature, for me, having this deep minded and this deep approach was really, really beneficial. But on the flex end of that, sometimes people don't understand what you're saying because you think with such depth and you think with so many layers that sometimes people are just like, you are speaking another language. And how are you even coming up with these scenarios? And what is wrong with you? So you have to be, you know, careful when you are in communication with people when you are a deep thinker, because sometimes people will think that you are, you know, you're just over their head, or they're just unsure of what you're saying. Or some people might actually honestly think that you are just full of shit because they just can't understand you. So they just sort of write you off. So this is the good and the bad about when it comes to sort of problem solving and being a deep thinker. And some people might just be overwhelmed with your level of thinking, like, oh my gosh, you know, they don't want to go there with you. So that's one area I would say that is, you know, beneficial and not beneficial. I think people tend to think that people who are deep thinkers, at least I can speak for myself, and I bet if you were a deep thinker, you've had this as well, that people don't think that you have like a sense of humor. They think that you take life too seriously. You know, they're sometimes afraid to like admit things around you because they know you're going to like dissect it and analyze it. I have definitely had that situation with friends where they're just like, I can't talk to you because, you know, you're just going to go into this and this. And then, you know, if they have deep problems and they're ready to come, then you're the first person that they come to. But as far as like having shame and these other things, I think because you are somebody who is analytical and you analyze everything, people are kind of afraid to tell you things too. And they don't think that you have a sense of humor that you can lighten up. And so I've definitely had this experience where, you know, I may be experiencing something and I'm actually having a good time and I'm doing deep thought and, you know, I'm actually feeling okay in whatever like social situation that I'm in, but people, you know, can maybe think that I am too serious. I also have a bit of the resting bitch face syndrome, so that doesn't add to my deep thinking tendencies all that well. And, you know, so the combination of those two things has always been my sort of Achilles heel, making new friends and being in social situations and, you know, doing that work. Because as deep thinkers, we're kind of always in our head. Most of the time, we're not speaking until we think about a situation, until we have observed and assessed the situation. We take a little longer than I think most people. So this is just some of the good and the bad is, you know, of being this deep thinker and somebody who's living in the deep end of the pool. You know, you can have really, really strong and powerful connections, but I think making those connections initially can be hard. Another good and bad thing is because we're always in our head, we tend to be, you know, more judgmental. And I think as a deep thinker, it's okay to put that out there to say, you know, because you're constantly weighing things. You're constantly thinking, okay, you know, is this a person I can trust? Is this somebody I can say this to? Should I say this? When should I say this? And this whole little like orchestra is constantly going on in your head. And so it's something that, you know, you tend to judge people because you're just analyzing everything. And it may not be, you know, hopefully you're not doing fierce judgment of people where you're condemning people and being really negative. You don't want to go into that spiral as a deep thinker because it's not a good place to go to. But you definitely are analyzing and assessing things as you go on, you know, people, relationships, outcomes, systems, you know, you're looking at different things and you're deciding, is this for me or is this not for me? How am I reacting? And what is going on? And so, and I think the more refined you get as a deep thinker, you know, the more self-aware you become as a deep thinker, you're doing even more work, in that area. So it only kind of expands, at least this has been my experience. It expands as you get older. I think you get more comfortable with it. You get more agreeable with the whole situation. And you can do some seriously incredible work once you have really surrendered that this is kind of who you are and this is how you think and there's really nothing wrong with it. So those are some of the good and the bad, and maybe you can tell me if you've experienced these things too. I don't think I'm alone. Whenever I get into a conversation with deep thinkers, we normally talk about these things, and it's a lot of fun. So I just want to say that if you are a deep thinker and you are someone in the deep end of the pool, I'm happy that you're here, and I am excited for you being in this world because I think we need people like us to balance things out. And I think that we can offer in so many situations, we can listen in so many situations and not offer until the time is right. I think we can help people deeply. I think we can, you know, strengthen relationships. I think that we are some of the people who can do some really good forgiveness work for things that have happened on the surface level. And I'll speak maybe a little bit more about that in, I think, episode 4 that I put onto my list about healing and how deep thinkers can heal, because it's really, really important because we feel things so deeply. And so that can be a hard process. And I know it's one that I've certainly had to go through. So thank you for joining, and I will see you guys on the next episode. And that is an episode where I'm going to be talking about why I started this podcast and really how I got the message from my soul, from God, from whatever you want to call it, to really start this podcast, and how when we as deep thinkers get super connected with that, like the magic that can happen. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about how I denied my my deep thinking tendencies and my highly emotional reactions for many, many, many years, and how I really had a breakdown. And I think most deep thinkers can most likely relate to this. So it's going to be a great episode. I hope that you guys can join, and I think you will get a lot out of it. And I'm going to tell you some of the tricks and tips, how I, you know, started implementing some serious healing in my life after I had a deep thinker's breakdown. So I will see you guys soon. Thank you for joining, and keep thinking deeply. We need you. All right. Bye, guys.